Blog Talk Radio.
Koda, Mojuba, Asheda, Mojuba, Alua, Mi, Apolabi, Pega, Mojuba, Araba, Mi, Adesanya, Awuyade, Mojuba, Ogute, Compound, Oje, Remo, Mojuba, Baba, Mojuba, Yeye, Mojuba, Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba, Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba, Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba, Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in? We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we are quickly approaching our fifth anniversary and are looking forward to celebrating it with you. So we ask that you continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook and as a liking group page for Manhood, Race, and Culture, and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also support Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Arlie is on Facebook as Arlie Gordon II and unitydesign.com on the World Wide Web. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the families and loved ones and friends that they represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, Decarcerate Louisiana, and the Free Ohio Movement, respectively, on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com, decarceratelouisiana.com, and freeohiomovement.org. So there are two conference calls coming up, which I'm sure that Decarcerate is going to discuss tonight. They have a conference call set for Monday night. Free Ohio Movement and the National Movement are set for Sunday night. And we're looking for people to get involved in what we're building and the cause that we're building around, which is legalized slavery and antebellum slavery in many areas of the United States still to this day. So we want to ask that you support the Redistribute the Pain campaign. And to find out more, there's an article, several articles that have been run since January of this year by Brother Ben New Hannibal Rock, formerly known as Marvin Ray of the Free Alabama Movement. And he's written extensively on the whys of this campaign to redistribute the pain. And so if you want to look at those articles, you can find them in a hard copy, of course. If you choose to subscribe to the Bayview News, I'm sure that they would appreciate your support. It's only $22 per year from what I remember, and that's how much I pay. But it's not much at all. And faithfully, they deliver stories and connections, if you will, to our brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines in the community. So I'm sure they'd appreciate a subscription, and you get a monthly delivery, as well as you can look these articles up online and still choose to contribute, even if you don't have, say, the $22 to get a subscription right away. So I'm sure that they would appreciate your support. We certainly appreciate their support and want to send our love and mutual respect to the staff and the comrades that make that happen on a monthly basis. So we also can find information about Redistribute the Pain on WordPress, redistributethepain.wordpress.com. There you can find out how you can get involved and keep up to date on the things that we're doing in the community. There are some activities coming up, still going on, are the prison strikes. There are many comrades who are behind enemy lines who are on hunger strike. And there's so many that we want to do the best we can here on Sign of the Times through New Power Radio Network and Bars Beyond Bars and our other comrades and their connections to get these stories out here and continue to be a voice for our brothers and sisters who often feel like they don't have one just because of their current circumstances. So also, if you have a loved one or family or friend who is behind enemy lines and maybe you've lost track of them, we can help you find them. Simply give us a call. My phone number is area code 513-913-2691. I'm Queen Tahira on Facebook, New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times, of course, on Facebook. And at Queen Tahira on Twitter and Queen underscore Tahira on Instagram. So we're going to hang out a little bit, wait for our brothers from Decarcerate Louisiana to join us. Tonight they are going to be discussing the progress that they've been making, which is much, and the connections and things like that that they've been able to make since the last time we talked. So I'm looking forward to tonight's dialogue, finding out more about their social media platform and volunteer recruitment efforts, upcoming events in the month of August, also going throughout the month of December. And these events and activities are going to recycle throughout 2019 to 2020, as long as it takes us to continue to get our message out. So please reach out to us again so we can reach out to you and support our brothers and sisters behind enemy lines and those who are out here representing their best interests. So it's a part of our comprehensive strategy to be the support mechanism wherever we can in an atmosphere of love and mutual respect. So hang out with us. I think I'm going to play this recording from Brother Kinetic a few months ago. And he's one of the original incorporators. The Free Alabama Movement, very instrumental in the foundation building of the organization and should Decarcerate Louisiana not come through tonight. I'm just going to go ahead and let this play. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of our audience. Thank you for supporting Sign of the Times for almost 5 years now. I could not do this work without you. It is not easy, especially the more we get responses from our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated. I mean, some of the things that they say happen to them on a daily basis definitely affirms the fact that we have political prisoners, especially when our brothers and sisters choose to speak truth to power and they reach out for help. Many of them are being punished simply for needing aid and assistance. So as we continue to grow and develop, we're going to continue to strengthen our foundation as we lie bricks for this wall. And, you know, eventually you're going to be able to put a roof on this thing and let it ride on out. We're leaving a legacy here, everybody. You know, everything that we do, every second that we spend in this movement, we are leaving a legacy. We are the whirlwind that our Honorable Marcus Garvey spoke about. So enjoy Brother Kinetic, and we're going to hang out for a bit. You're listening to Signs of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be back. All right, Brother K, we're live and living color here, and we can go ahead. I can edit this later, so we can edit this first part out. How do you want to introduce yourself? Do you want to be Kinetic Justice, or do you want to use another name?
Kinetic Justice, cool.
Okay. Can we speak specifically about the Free Alabama Movement?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear what you said, so.
I said, can we speak on the directly on the Free Alabama Movement? It's okay to use that.
All right.
Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. My name is Queen Tahira. This is recorded broadcast with members of the Free Alabama Movement, specifically our beloved brother, Kinetic Justice. Peace, Brother Kinetic. How are you doing today?
Peace and blessings, Queen. I'm blessed and blessed.
Ashe, good to hear your voice, man. We've been going through it since May Day. So catch us up a little bit about what's going on with the Free Alabama Movement and let us know the status of our beloved comrades there.
Basically, just to give an overview, May 1st of this year, we engaged in a nonviolent and peaceful protest in response to the denial of our human rights by the state of Alabama, specifically the Department of Corrections of the state of Alabama. And this is our third protest against the Alabama Department of Corrections, and we may have to go into a few more as the Department of Corrections in the state of Alabama refuses to acknowledge the denial of the human rights of over 30,000 people who are incarcerated. On May 1st, like I said, we began a nonviolent peaceful protest against the Department of Corrections. This began at Holman Correctional Facility and Elmore Correctional Facility and Staten Correctional Facility. And eventually, before it was over, touched bases at Dawn Correctional Facility as well as St. Clair Correctional Facility. As a part of that, the Department of Corrections began bird feeding the brothers at these different institutions. And when I say bird feeding, I mean a piece of light bread and one hot dog per meal type demonstration. But it was well below the calorie requirement for each individual. And this was a method and a means to break the unity, to undermine the movement and the shutdown. The brothers endured the bird feeding. After 10 days, the Department of Corrections came up with a different tactic. As work strikes are a part of our program, as it is the crux of what we do to show the leverage against this system of mass incarceration. The Department of Corrections, in contrast to that, went and got brothers from lower-level institutions, work release camps and honor camps, and as a part of some kind of agreement or deal, they had these brothers to undermine the strikes inside of these institutions and brought in lower-level custody inmates to do the work. Once that happened, around the second week of the work strike, we had to regroup and design a new tactic to deal with the Department of Corrections undermining the work strike. For the last few weeks or maybe a month or so, we have been reorganizing and trying to re-strategize our moves. And in the contrast of why we were doing that, the Department of Corrections has targeted each individual who they consider to be influential or in a leadership position or anyone affiliated with the Free Alabama Movement. And the Department of Corrections has labeled and targeted these brothers as security threat groups to the institution. And then right now we're in the process of, to date, I think maybe 15 people were transferred from where I'm at today. But for the last 3 or 4 days, they have transferred double number of people, double digit number of people, mixing up the different institutions, trying to undermine the unity and to break up the camaraderie with brothers throughout this system. As of late, Brother Thai Chief has placed in segregation at Donaldson. Well, he was first taken to Donaldson from St. Clair Correctional Facility and placed in a hot bay dormitory, or what they're trying to create, a behavior modification unit. And this is specifically to target influential brothers, brothers in leadership position, and anybody associated with the Free Alabama Movement. What we see developing is it looks like that the Department of Corrections are endeavoring to create a security housing unit or a behavior modification unit, somewhere where they can isolate brothers and use extreme forms of psychological terror to break brothers down or to make brothers be in compliance with their brainwashing technique. Brother, spokesperson Ray is still at Donaldson dealing with those type of issues from the administration, being targeted and being repressed on every means and method. As of late, they began rejecting all literature from the Burning Spear, Prison Legal News, San Francisco Bayview, or any periodical that makes mention of the Free Alabama Movement has been declared security threat information, and it may disrupt the institution. Therefore, we're having a long struggle with the administration over taking information, taking literature that, I'm saying, I have a paid subscription for the Bayview Burning Spear, as well as the Prison Legal News. And this is money that is being taken from these individuals on the inside who get a subscription to these periodicals. So, you know, we're faced with a lot of pressure from the Department of Corrections, the administration, each institution, as well as statewide through the commissioner. And they're doing everything they can to undermine the unity and to break up the camaraderie of the Free Alabama Movement in the state of Alabama. And that is the job that we're up against in combating that, continuing to reach our network with brothers, continuing to educate, and continuing to build the bridge between the younger generation and the older generation on the inside, so that we can continue to move forward as a collective group. And I, you know, so that's pretty much a summary of what's going on with us down here in Free Alabama Movement for the last couple of weeks. And if there's anything specific or anything else that you need me to touch on, Queen, feel free to add.
Yes. Now, when you speak on the relationship that the Free Alabama Movement has with the administration there, can you talk about that? And how receptive have they been to the demands that were created so that you could protect your human and civil rights?
Well, the position that the Alabama Department of Corrections has made is that rather than to deal with the issues, rather than to sit down and to communicate and conversate with the brothers to try to come to a resolution, they completely turned a deaf ear and labeled anybody associated with Free Alabama Movement as gang members. And they have taken a position that they would not negotiate. They don't want to negotiate with terrorists or gang members, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, you know, that's why we have to continue the work that we do because the administration is not being very receptive to the issues that are being laid on the table. And we understand that the reason that they're not receptive is because this is an economical system and they're making millions and millions of dollars. Therefore, that was the whole point of us engaging in work strikes during the negotiation process because the work strikes give us leverage. It gives us the ability to make demands on the Department of Correction about our human rights as we are in control of their money. But when we have no leverage, when we are not on work strike, when we're not on shutdown, then, you know, we have no leverage, we have no voice, we have no say-so. And that is the position that the Department of Corrections has taken in regards to dealing with the demands and the issues of the brothers on the inside.
Mm-hmm. So I'm confused, Brother Kinetic. How can they label the Free Alabama Movement, which is an advocacy organization? You've done a lot to build camaraderie there through the prison system. So I'm confused on how they are determining that this is some sort of gang. I'm confused by that.
Well, we are as well, but there has been no specific incident. There has been no specific situation to pinpoint where this erroneous label comes from. But what we do know is that anything inside of the institution that's constructive towards the men who are there is self-education, teaching each other the law, you know, teaching each other their human rights and so forth. Those type of things are considered threats to the order of the institution. And I'm talking about these are things that are beneficial to the people who are here. These are the things that are uplifting to the people here. However, the administration takes the position that it undermines their control and their authority for inmates to take the initiative to educate themselves or to do for themselves. So anything where people on the inside begin to come together and do for themselves for their betterment, the Department of Corrections takes that as a direct affront upon their order and their organization of being able to run their prison. So there's no, like I said, we've 3 years there's been not one violent incident associated with the Free Alabama Movement. We've been nonviolent and peaceful since our inception. We have set out our program, which lays out everything that we're about, and it's about the upliftment and the advancement of all human beings who are being incarcerated and being treated unfairly and being denied their human rights. And to put this type of issue on the table exposes the Department of Corrections for being exactly who they are and what they are. And anytime that that happens, you have to assassinate the character of those people exposing you. And that's the position the Department of Corrections has taken. They are assassinating the character of the Free Alabama Movement by associating us with being a gang or security threat group that, you know what I'm saying, that they can mislabel us so that other people will be less inclined to the message that the Free Alabama Movement is promoting.
Absolutely. And it just confirms what we've spoken about before, Brother Kinetic, that no longer is the word rehabilitation even considered into the equation. It's strictly about correction and punishment. So to hear something like this coming from someone who is, you know, directly impacted by the laws, by the oppression, by the slavery system of mass incarceration, I think it helps people get a better picture of the fact that no longer are you there to pay your debt to society, that they have turned us into a situation pretty much of human trafficking. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me, exactly. And, you know, we've been promoting and pushing that, you know, these places are not about crime and punishment. It's not about rehabilitation and correction. It's not about that. You know what I'm saying? That's the pretext. That's what they put on the news. That's what they put on the billboard. You know, that's what's on the mission statement. But in fact and indeed, if you come inside of these institutions, you will realize real quick that there is no such thing as education and rehabilitation. This is simply warehouse and a free labor market, as the brothers on the state of Alabama work for free. And these dormitories are made to hold 60 people. However, there are 120 people in each of these dormitories, and they're just being warehoused to work these jobs or to provide labor for the Department of Correction to continue to save them money and to make them money. So, no, it's definitely no rehabilitation. There's definitely no correction, none of those type things going on. And I think they've even articulated that the state of Alabama got away from rehabilitation, you know, in the late 90s, late 80s, the early part of the 90s, where they got away from rehabilitation, and it was strictly a work camp, strictly by working. And that was just changing the language, because Alabama, since its inception, since its beginning, has been founded upon slave labor and continuing to build and grow and develop from convict leasing, Jim Crow, to mass incarceration. And it's all the same thing. Black bodies had behind cages working for free. So that's definitely not about rehabilitation and correction anymore. It's straight up and down about economics. And it's an economical system, just like the institution of slavery was. It's an institution about economics.
So, Brother Kinetic, some people might feel like, okay, so if you're not getting anywhere with the administration, who does the administration answer to? Is there an appeal process or anything that people who are on the outside who want to support can help advocate for? Or is there anything that you need from us as the community in the form of support?
First of all, let's see. First of all, the state of Alabama has no grievance process. They have no grievance system. Brothers and sisters that are locked behind enemy lines in the state of Alabama have no recourse of getting things done. There's no accountability. There's no system in place, which led to, you know, self-organizing and the shutdowns, because, you know, we have no means and no method to have our issues addressed on the inside. And that's something that people on the outside can start rallying around, you know, saying that there is no chain of command on the inside for the people incarcerated to have their issues addressed. You know, saying the highest thing here is a ward. I'm saying you can take your issue to a CO, or take your issue to a sergeant or a lieutenant and so forth, and they take it to the warden, and that's it. And whatever the warden say, that's it, end of the story. And nine times out of ten, this is the person who's the problem. You know, this is the person who's creating the situation. And yet this is the person that has to go to the remedy. And that's the problem that we've been faced with in Alabama for many, many years, that the people who create the problem are the same people that we have to turn to correct the problem. And you can only imagine how that goes. So, you know, I think that people on the outside are, in regards to representatives, legislators, or the governor, those are the people who fall into the chain of command of the Department of Corrections. However, they all, like I said, they all are in bed or all at the table in this mix because they all receive financial compensation from the labor that's generated out of these prisons. But the actual chain of command would be trying to get the commissioner or trying to get the governor to remedy the situations inside of these institutions, as these institutions have no grievance process and no corrective measures to be made on the inside.
Wow. So I guess that's why they can go through and, you know, snatch up brothers and sisters the way they have with the members of FAM and place them in this behavior modification program without any consequence.
Exactly. There's no accountability, and they set it up. Alabama is one of these states that, if you do the history on it, everywhere in history that went from the Civil War all the way up through the convict leasing, through Jim Crow, through all that, you know, it takes the federal government and other people to intervene in regard to these people doing what the law says they should do. Because Alabama has an arrogant attitude that we do what we want to do. And if you don't like it, then come make us do something different. And that's been the history of it. And this situation we're going through now is no different. They're going to milk this situation for all it's worth. the complete denial and disregard of human rights of over 30,000 people is nothing compared to the money they're making. And they're going to continue to rake in revenue until the federal government or somebody above them makes them stop. You know, they could care less if it's right or wrong. In fact, it's going to take a court to tell them they're wrong, or it takes guns to tell them they're wrong. Other than that, the state of Alabama will continue to run their program and continue to rake in millions and millions of dollars at the expense of the less fortunate people throughout the state, mostly them being African-American people that are suffering from these techniques that the Department of Correction use.
So, Brother Kinetic, how are you doing? How are you getting through all of this and still able to maintain your leadership position and somewhat your sanity and sanctity in this fight? You know, are you doing okay? You know, how do you get through a typical day?
Well, it's really been hectic lately. Last week, there was an altercation outside with the officers in regards to, you know, me being in solitary 31 months, going on 31 months, and the rejecting of my mail and so forth. And I was trying to bring those issues before the administration when there were other, well, basically, let me back up. In segregation, like I said, there's no grievance process. So the way that people have their issues addressed in segregation is that every morning we have a 45-minute exercise walk when they take you out to walk in cages. And if you have an issue to bring over the administration, most people won't come back in after their 45 minutes. They refuse to come back in until they see the warden or see someone in authority. And this is one of the situations that happened last week where there were three of us outside that had issues with the warden that wanted to see the warden. This situation turned into something completely different than talking to the warden. At the end, they brought shotguns and tasers and stun guns and threatened bodily harm for myself and a few other people about bringing up issues and not being in compliance with what they say do. And, you know, it's just every day it's a different situation with dealing with these people, and I have to stay on my guard because I'm no fool, and I know that they've been denying me medical treatment for almost a year now. And, you know, the food issue, the sanitation, everything that these people are doing are directed toward the elimination or the murdering of me and other brothers back here. So, you know, I have to be conscious of where I'm at and who's around and try to be as vigilant as possible, try to stay in communication with the different brothers who are being shipped around the state. Now, you know, saying brothers who were one place, the next day they're somewhere else. So it's really a job trying to keep up with where the brothers are at and what all the Department of Correction have going on, as well as trying to keep my sanity and deal with the situations that I'm faced with myself. So it's a struggle, sister, but, you know what I'm saying, a lot of growth is the struggle. So if it ain't no struggle, ain't no growth. So we struggling down here.
Ashe, Ashe, much love and much respect for the fact that you've been able to persevere throughout the 31 months of solitary confinement. And a lot of people might think that, you know, I did not read something that said solitary confinement was determined inhumane. Has that trickled down to Alabama, that they determined that to have prolonged solitary confinement that equates cruel and unusual punishment?
If they heard it, they didn't pay attention to it. If it trickled down to them, they didn't hear it. They weren't paying attention to it. Nothing has changed about nothing about solitary confinement here. Nothing has changed about the state of Alabama, period, in regards to solitary confinement. So, you know, I've seen litigation, and I've seen articles, and I've seen op-eds, and, you know, I've seen multiple literature where people are beginning to organize around the fact that solitary confinement is cruel and unusual and amounts to psychological torture. And they're absolutely correct. And the thing about it is, in Alabama, that you can be absolutely correct, and that's of no consequence. You know, it's not about you being right. It's about what they say is right. And as of now, solitary confinement and has been deemed to be just fine by them.
Wow. Well, I know that there's a national effort to make it a federal crime to resort to cruel and unusual punishment, even in the case of our confined citizens. So if there's anything that comes across our desk, we definitely will forward it to the Free Alabama Movement and the supporters. Can you let the listeners know how they can support you all through the Free Alabama Movement? Get out your contact information, please.
Yes. Well, you can contact Mothers and Family Members. It's an outside organization. I wish I had the information present right now, but I don't. But now we have a Facebook page where you can find us on Facebook, Free Alabama Movement, all cap letters. You can find us at freealabamamovement.wordpress. In either one of these venues, you can leave us a message, and we'll be definitely sure to get back to you. In regards to contact with mothers and families, I'm going to have to get that information to you, but that is our outside support network, and they aid and assist us in all of the endeavors that we do do embark on the inside. So you can find them on Facebook, Mothers and Family Members, or find us, Free Alabama Movement, on Facebook, and leave us a message or contact, and we'll be sure to get back in touch with you.
Okay. Now, Brother Kinetic, before we wrap up here, because I know your time is limited, now, how much of what is happening to us on the street is directly related to the issue of mass incarceration? Because that's another thing, I think, the bridge, if you will, to link the two, that a lot of people are missing, that, you know, it's either the cemetery or the jail system for a lot of our brothers and sisters who are out here trying to make it. So can you talk about how some of the current events that are happening with assaults from the state against especially our black men directly relates to mass incarceration?
Yes, you know what I'm saying? It is very clear what's going on, and I don't know why it's so hard for us as a community to be able to connect the dots. When I was growing up, I used to be a say in jail or hell. You know, and that was what was expected for young black men. You know, you're going to jail or hell. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. And, you know, most people are caught up on the fact that they're shooting and killing our children in the street, which is something tragic that definitely needs to be addressed. But this is the same interaction that leads to mass incarceration, the police officer engaging in our young brothers and sisters in our community. Some of them are so fearful that they shoot them before they get to the courthouse, and some of them can maintain until they get you to the courthouse. But it's the same actual demonstration. Untrustworthy, lying, scary police officers who think that his authority overrides the humanity of everyone else. Therefore, he can do and say whatever he chooses to do. And, you know, we're seeing that a lot of our brothers and sisters are being shot down in the street. But for years, a lot of our brothers and sisters are being shot down in the courtroom behind these same corrupt officers. You know, they lying, they fabricating evidence, you know, they coercing witnesses, and they shooting people. This is the same force. The first line of defense from this system is the police department, and they're engaged in a war against our community, whether it be to shoot us down in the street or to frame us up and to lock us up and to hang us in their courtrooms. This is the exact same struggle that's going on against mass incarceration, that's going on with Black Lives Matter. It is a war against the black community, and that's plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? That we connect the dots from the courtroom to the cemetery, but it is the same police forces, and it's the same ones that's doing the same thing, whether it be to kill you or to lie on you and frame you and wrongfully convict you. We're still losing. On all sides, and we're receiving that same sentiment of jail or hell, and that's what's happening to our children. Our children are either being sent to jail for extended periods of time, or they're being killed right here in these streets in cold blood. So, you know, it's on us as people to begin to educate and uplift our awareness and begin to connect these dots and begin to help other people see the connection between what's going on in the streets today with Black Lives Matter and the police killing our children, as well as the struggle that's been going on for the last couple of years against mass incarceration. This is one and the same. This is the same struggle.
I say it definitely is. Well, do you have anything you want to make sure that the listeners hear, and we can do this again, you know, as your schedule permits, every few days or once a week, you know, however you see fit. You know, what do you want the listeners to do or to hear until the next time we meet?
I would ask that all listeners, you know what I'm saying, begin to educate yourself about the issues, what's going on in society today with the police killing our children, as well as what's going on with mass incarceration. And that was one of the most valuable points I think that we've made here, is to begin to make the connection between what's going on in the courtroom and what's going on in our community. And, you know, to educate yourself, network with other like-minded people, and let's educate one another. Let's share this information. Let's share this knowledge. Let's come together. Let's organize, and let's put a stop to this, the killing of our children in the community, as well as the mass incarceration of our men and women throughout this country. That is the message that I want to send on behalf of Free Alabama Movement.
All right, everyone. Please go to the Free Alabama Movement YouTube page, as well as their website, www.freealabamamovement.com. Please keep Brother Kinetic, Dati, Jaja, Roz, and all the other beloved brothers who are part of the movement in your thoughts and prayers. And if you get an opportunity to engage anyone in the conversation about what mass incarceration and over-prosecution and targeting of our community is doing to us, please take the opportunity to do so, because everything changes when we start to have those kinds of conversations and deal with them in truth and speaking truth to power. So thank you so much, Brother Kinetic. We love you. We appreciate you. And we are here for you anytime you need us.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen. My greetings to all. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Take care.
Peace.
Sounding the alarm as it was boiling over with consternation among the people, forcing the hand of men who would see to their God-given rights. The root of the problem was far deeper than an inability of inter-ethnic relations. The source derived from political exploits and legal ramifications that proved to be frail and fraudulent. The same would inevitably keep the nation in a continual chaotic state of some sorts. And how frightening it is to know that even in our present time, political, legal, and economic exploitation maintains commonplace in the dark havens of our democracy. As a sacrificial iron wheel of Reverend Nathaniel Turner, pounding the pavement with troops swollen with prophetic indignation against all odds. It is the packed sales in the rest of '60s, making headlines on TV to voice prophetic grievances, not to tickle ears and appeasement, revolutionary statesmanship, as found embodied in General Toussaint Louverture on the shores of Haiti. Setting political holes and ideological strongholds on who's capable, who is a conqueror, or more succinctly, who is also a man. We are called to continue in his legacy, unashamed to denounce political figures by name. Are we afraid and ashamed to lose tax exemptions if we truly preach in his name? In America, and who is speaking prophetic truth to power and making our world a morally better place? These are my thoughts, not just for my tomorrow, but for our tomorrow. Future in our hands, ours for the taking, shaping, and making.
Finding all these, a dozen roses, which I would give to you.